76.
Thank you.
Sure is good to be in church this morning. Hey, that's good. That's good. Amen. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Amen. And it's always good to praise God. Trust you had a great Thanksgiving day and everything give thanks. And I thank God for 365 Thanksgiving days. Man ought always to be giving thanks. There's more working this morning. It may be hard for you to believe, but there's more working in your body today than is not working. We are often complaining about those things that are not working. Every once in a while, we might want to stop and thank God for that which is working. Sometimes you may have had an accident and put your arm in a sling and you can't use it, or various obstacles have come in, and we ought to be grateful. The Bible teaches me in everything give thanks, in everything. And so we need to start doing that. And Thursday was a special day, perhaps, but this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so that's good. That's good. That's good. I'm looking for the smiles. That's good. Every man ought to be praising God. Take your Bible this morning, and this will be a I hope a beneficial thought today. The book of Jude. Start in Revelation, go to the front, and you'll find Jude pretty fast, but don't turn too fast. You'll go right over it. All right? And so we thank God for the Word of God preserved for us today that we might have it and thus be able to say, thus saith the Lord. Let me tell you while you're turning, I am always fearful to stand behind a sacred desk, a pulpit, where others have stood before me and proclaimed the glorious Word of God. I have preached, I was in a school chapel last year, and I had a Bible to give away. And I said, if you tell me how many messages, how many thoughts, how many times I stood before some people or a crowd of people and preached, whoever comes the closest, I'll give the Bible to. And so they came up with about 13,000 times. A Christian school, there's 180 days in school and a chapel every morning. Sunday school preaching, Sunday morning service, nursing home, many days, two nursing homes in the afternoon. I stopped going to the nursing home because they wanted to keep me. But we would go to two different nursing homes. I'm sure they wanted to check and see if I had a band on my arm when I was going out. And then evening service, and then sometimes with the teenagers before that. It's been a lot. Summer camp we had for 27 years or so like that. In our backyard, we had 50 to 60 campers pulling my driveway with a big oversized Sunday school bus. We had about 50 acres for us in Jersey. 50 acres is a lot. I mean, that's like half of New Jersey. We pulled it, and we had a whole bunch of woods in the back and so forth and so on. We had two ponies and a horse and a goat and all the other animals that would go along, which you would not expect to find in New Jersey, but we had on our property. And so we'd have chapel there every day, and that was for 8 weeks in the summertime. Uh-huh. Yeah. 7 or 8 weeks, depending upon the year. We did that for 28 years. And so there was a lot of times. It's just not like, okay, preach Sunday morning, preach Sunday night, and you're done, Wednesday night service. But it was a lot of preaching. Now, I've said this publicly, but I have preached the same message for 38 years. Saved, separated, and serving. Saved, sanctified, and serving. That's a little variation of the same message, you know. But the Word of God is precious, and we can look at it many times, many ways, and I trust that you will get something from the Word of God. I said the first time I stood behind this, if you never met me, you missed nothing. You never met my Jesus, you have missed everything. And all of life is about Jesus. It's all about Him. How can I do less than give Him my best after all He's done for you and for me and for us? So thank God for it. Book of Jude, the last two verses there in the book, verse 24 and 25. 24 says this, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." You got that idea? Exceeding joy. "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. You know that little song? Going to see Jesus. Can't wait. Heaven's so wonderful, bright and fair. Praise the Lord. I'm going there. I'll be there forever. Can't wait. This world, as one young lady said just a little while ago, don't rush the washing machine is my point, but she was ready to spin the cycle just a little bit. This world's not my home. I'm just the passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Notice in this verse, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Now, as we age, and it's inevitable that we do age, whether you be 12 and then you're going to be 13 or whether you be up or on the other end, but is able to keep us from falling. Now, here, this is speaking spiritually. All right? We walk with a cane. We make sure that we're standing upright and keep our balance and all that type of thing. God is able to keep you spiritually. "Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling." How many, when you get up this morning, said, "I'm going to fall today. I'm planning. I just know it's going to happen, so I might as well get it over with. I'm just going to fall today." And here, spiritually, this book that you hold in your lap can keep you from falling spiritually. And that's what we need in our culture today. We have fallen. We have fallen away from the truth of the Word of God. Many of us were brought up in a school system that taught the Word of God. Now, it wasn't as accurate in theology as what we might like or might want it, but it was there. And we need to once again as a people bring the Word of God back into the culture. That's why it's great that you're in Sunday school. It's great that you're in church. It's great anytime the doors are open that you're in church. Because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to know that your Christianity means something to you. And we are not fair weather Christians. It's hard to say up here because it gets real nasty up here. I think I mentioned it, but we were over in New York someplace where it was 9 degrees, 32 inches of snow on the ground in our motorhome. Okay, so I want to take a picture. I'm not a fair weather. We were here in the blizzard. But we need to be out there in the marketplace letting folks know that we love the Lord. You all sing. You sing well. Music is great. Absolutely, absolutely. Appreciate you playing the piano. Ma and I were worried about who was going to be playing the piano. Oh, my. And Johnny One Note. Yeah. I'm not even that, you know. Yeah. But... You know, but the singing was great. Songwriters, I sing because I'm, his eye is upon the sparrow, but I know he watches over me. Okay. Amen. So you don't plan on falling. And I want to give you a few things this morning. I won't tell you how many, because that way you won't know if I went through the whole thing I have written out or not. So I'm going to give you a few things this morning that will spiritually help you. And I think this one right here to start with, verse number 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, forever. To God be the glory. Take heed. That means take careful consideration. Take careful consideration. You say, well, how did you get to there? Well, I got it here in my notes and you just weren't following. 1 Corinthians, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse number 12. We have what we call some seasoned saints here this morning. By that, we have kind of weathered the storm. We've kind of like been around. We're some seasoned saints. There's some kids new on the block. And a church is made up of all different types of saints. Some folks have been saved for a brief period of time, some for a long period of time. And we're not going to ask how many have been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. But thank God that you got saved somewhere along the way. Now, I'm not assuming because you sit in this sanctuary, in this church, and you sit in these chairs, that because you're in church, you're saved. Yeah. God knows and you know. Beyond that point, we make assumptions. You know, when somebody's passed, somebody says, were they saved? I'm not the final authority. Amen? From all indications, they indicated their life manifested, there is testimony of being saved. You ought to know that Christ is your Savior. And if you know, then somebody else needs to know. Now, you're looking at me like every once in a while I've said it and don't know what it means, but like the cow looking at the gate. Whatever that means. But anyway, you know, somebody needs to know. No, in quotes, that you're saved. If somebody was to ask my wife, is Rev saved? I hope she would have the right answer. But God's not going to ask her when my day has come. It's between me and the Lord. No one who's ever passed have I gotten a phone call from God and saying, Rev, should I let this gentleman in my heaven? No. No. It's between you and the good Lord. But when you're saved, the whole world ought to know it. There ought to be, there's been a great change. Remember that little chorus? Since I've been born again, there's been a great, great change. Change since I've been born again. Been a great change. And I trust that's characteristic of your life. All right? So there's been a change, a great change. In our culture, if somebody gets saved, there's definitely a great change between the life they were living before and the life they're going to be living now. A great change. Take heed. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. No one plans on falling. Spiritually speaking, no one plans on falling. But there's a tempter, a devil, who's out there trying to trip us up. One way or another, he is out there. And I want to give you some ideas this morning on how we can prevent the accident of tripping up, of falling. Take heed lest he fall. Number one, the Savior will keep you from falling. When you walk close to the Lord, there is an unseen presence of Almighty God. I've dealt with teenagers all my life. And I know when authority is around, their behavior is different than when there is no authority around. Now, we're just old teenagers. And when there's authority around, we're less likely to fall. Come on, man. You're in Cabela's and you're looking for something that you're kind of stretching the bucks to get the money to buy it. And your wife is just on the other side. You know she's going to say, honey, you don't need that. Honey, you don't, you already have, and so forth and so on. And so if you can vacate that authority, then you're allowed to do something you ought not to be doing. The Savior will keep you from falling. Who are you talking to? I was just talking to the Lord. It's good to go in our closet and pray, but it's not inappropriate to pray at the dining room table or in one of your favorite dining places. I'm trying to think of what that might be. It couldn't be Cracker Barrel. But anyway, for some of you it is and it is. But the Savior will keep you from falling. And when we see Christian folks who have stumbled and tripped along the way, they haven't walked and invited Jesus to walk along with them. Verse 24, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Take heed, the Savior will keep you from falling. Let's just walk close to God. Just walk close to God. When you have a friend, if you remember back in your school day, you have the two, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so if it's me and the Savior, if it's you and the Savior, it's agreement. Now, usually you give the right of refusal to the highest element, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I was thinking about, Lord, what do you think? Oftentimes we'll transgress and then turn around and say, Lord, forgive me. And the Lord, he would like to put his voice in before we transgress. Now, we need to be conscious of transgression. I've been around enough in my years to see that we have tolerated some things that ought not to be tolerated. We have entertained some things that ought not to be entertained. And it's time now, and I appreciate the position and stand that on issues that you have taken. That has to be an element. We need... My children used to ask me, Daddy, what holiday are we for? Can we celebrate? And it was just understood that we would or we wouldn't do certain things. When you're walking with the Savior, yeah, you got up this morning and said, Lord, is it okay we go to church this morning? You already knew what his answer was going to be. All right, you knew that. Lord, is it all right that we... And you know what his answer is going to be. He said, why bother to ask? Well, it's nice to give him that position of, what do you call that? The right of refusal, first right of refusal. Let him have that first right. But we've gone along and said, well, I know what I'm doing. No. Let him do it. Take heed lest you fall. You didn't get up this morning saying, I'm going to fall. But we walk through our Christian life like we are potentially dangerous. Just thought about you know, if you don't want to fall in your house, okay? You remember the old stairs going down? You know, a lot of people live on a one story, but they had stairs going down there. What was one of the dangers that we had having those stairs coming down there? Think about that. Who? Falling. Okay? What contributed or what increased the probability of your falling going down those stairs? if it was dark. So we need to keep a light on. Hey, the light of the world is Jesus. Okay, so we need to keep that light on. Going down those stairs. Okay, we're not planning on falling, and we don't want to fall. But going down those stairs, we want to make sure the light's on. What else? Going down those stairs. A railing. We need something to assist us. We need something to assist us. That's one of the things church does. That's what Sunday School Hour does. It assists us. It will stop us from falling. What else might be?
Tread on the step.
It's not, you know, not in good repair on a step. What is in my mind is what my mother always got me for. Georgie, take the junk upstairs. It's not on the stairs for the fun of it. Your shoes are on the stairs. Your coat's on the stairs. Your toys are on the stairs. The roller skates are on the stairs. And you're going to fall. And we wonder what happened to our Christian community over the years. We left so much junk on the stairs that there are a lot of people falling. When I was a teenager, this is true confession. Now, when I was a teenager, 15 miles away was a little town called Asbury Park. And if somebody wanted to go get something, they had to get on a bus. An alcoholic beverage is what I'm talking about. They had to go on a bus and go there and get somebody to buy it. Today, transgressions are made so easy that you don't have to go 15 miles on a bus. It's made so easy. We need to follow the Savior and the Savior's leading. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. Walk with the King and be a blessing. Walk with Him. Take heed lest you fall. I'm saying to you this morning that the Savior will keep you from falling. I've never been accused of it, but I wouldn't mind. Just out walking someplace and just praying out loud. And somebody says, well, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to? I was just talking to the Lord. I was just talking to the Lord. Wouldn't that be sweet? Keep you from falling. Going in the wrong direction. Now, I'm a guest preacher. And I don't know whose toes to step on. Okay? But I kind of feel like every time I come up here, you put your work shoes on, you know, with the steel toe. So, Rev, don't go messing with me. And so, if this section of Scripture messes with you, it's about time we get no longer the need for steel toes. That we do right. Take heed lest we fall. We don't want to fall. You and I both know people who got saved, lived for Christ for a period of time, but are no longer any place to be found. What happened? They didn't take heed. They didn't stay close to the Savior. Your selection of friends are extremely important. The better your friend, the better your Christian life is going to be. The more that person works closer to the Lord, the closer you're going to walk. Husband and wife, come on now. Yeah, junior Holy Spirit in the family. I don't know who that might be, but you know, I'll leave it between you and your husband or you and your wife to decide who's the junior Holy Spirit. Are you still here? It sounds like nap time. Okay, you're all quiet. Okay, I must be in a very delicate area, so I'm going to move on to another area. Take heed. Number one, the Savior will keep you from falling. You're not planning on falling, then stay close to the Savior. Number two, Psalm 119, verse 11. Take heed. The Savior will keep you from falling. Number two, in this particular way, number two, take heed, the Scriptures, Psalm 119, verse 11. The Scriptures, this book, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This book will keep you from falling. Like I say, very few of you got up, if any, got up this morning and said, I think I might fall, physically speaking. I think I'm going to fall. Some of us, because of age, we're a little bit more cautious today than we were a month ago or a year ago or 10 years ago. And I think in our Christian life, the stronger or the further we get up doing God's business, the devil's more anxious to mess with us. He's more anxious to challenge us. He's more anxious to harm us. And so take heed lest you fall. Thy word, this book, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I know some men, some women, some people. Anyway, they can quote a whole chapter of the book. They can quote the whole book of John. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I'm suggesting to us this morning, you get as much in your heart as you can get in your head. You know, there are some folks who have been gifted. They have a keen ability to memorize. But I decided a long time ago, my inability to memorize was not going to stop me from serving the Lord. I told you last week, when you get to heaven, you stand at that door. This is figuratively. You stand, and so, how many Bible verses can you quote? Oh, I don't know. You only quoted 100. We've got a little shack by the side of the track down over here. If you can get 1,000 Bible verses, we got a mansion on top of the hill for you. God's not going to measure how many Bible verses you're able to. Now, you ought to know as many as you can. Uh-huh. But there's no evaluation. You're not getting an A-plus because you knew, and the person sitting next to you knew twice as many. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against him. Scriptures, take heed, the scriptures will keep you from falling. You weren't planning on falling, but this book will keep you from falling. The word of God that's tucked in this book not tucked in it, but the word of God that's in this book, the word of God that is this book, will keep you from falling. We don't want too many casualties, we don't want any casualties, in a spiritual hospital. But we need to have some doctors and some nurses and some orderlies around to help those who are stumbling out there. We need some folks like this group of folks that are here who can help those who are out there struggling. You know, there are folks who are alcoholics who never intended to be an alcoholic. But there are some folks who are walking close to God who say, let me help you. Let me show you. There's power in the blood. There's power in the cross. There's power in God's house. Let me show you. Scriptures will keep you from falling. Take heed. The scriptures will keep you from falling. My word have I hid in my heart. May I suggest that you don't hide it too good? You know what I mean? Where did I put? I got a pair of binoculars. And I wanted to look at some strange birds around in the backyard. So, my word, I hid them. Oh no! Where, you know, the word of God ought to be forefront in your life. The concept and the principles. It doesn't mean that you hid it to the point where, but it's just there. It is put there. It's always there. Always will be there. The word of God will guide and direct you. Since you're in Psalm 119, go to verse 63. Verse 63. No one planned on falling when we woke up this morning. I won't ask if anybody did, but you know, every once in a while we get a little, you know, and uncertain on our feet physically. Spiritually, these things we can take heed, lest we be prone towards falling. Someone once said, if you're not closer to God today than you were yesterday, then you're moving in the wrong direction. So we ought to stay close to God. God doesn't move away from us. We move away from him. Take heed, lest ye fall. The saints will keep you from falling. The saints will keep you from falling. When you walk with strong spiritual people, it is definitely harder to fall. May I suggest to us that there are some things that you in your spiritual life and your spiritual character may be able to walk and not notice. Fellas, did your wife ever say to you, did you notice that? Did you notice that? Or maybe a friend, did you notice that? No, I didn't notice it. But there are some things that ought not to be noticed that our peers, the saints, need to keep us away from. You know, there are some places Christians ought not to go. Did you know that? There are some places, I can do that and I'm not going to fall off the cliff. But the one following behind you may very well be in a dangerous spot. And you never know. I need to stay with my notes, not so much, but when I was actually a Boy Scout, we went camping, and there was a reservoir, and then they had a little opening between the reservoir, and there was a rattlesnake. And our scoutmaster, whatever it was, he killed the rattlesnake. But when a rattlesnake has his head chopped off, he still can move. Well, I didn't know that. Okay, I knew a little bit about the fish in the ocean, but I didn't know anything about snakes. So they put that snake, and they had a maybe about that wide. It went down, you know, good maybe 20 feet or so. It just dropped right straight down, and the wall was here, and the wall was there, and you could jump from that side to that side. So they put the snake on this side. Now, when you jumped across that and you hit the ground, the snake dead but reacted to it. It moved. And there's a caution. You don't want to jump over here and fall back. Somebody's got to warn me that when you jump over there, that snake's going to move. And for, you know, am I my brother's keeper? There's some things out there that don't look dangerous, but you better recognize they are dangerous. Things that have been started on that little idiot box. You all remember when it was about that big and the knobs were over here and you could hardly reach it and you put tinfoil on it to bring it all in? You don't remember that, but I do. Anyway, you've got to recognize there was a danger back then. And there's still a danger today. Take heed lest you fall. Are you in verse 63? Yeah, good, good. I wrote these verses out last night, so I don't have to flip-flop through pages there. Take heed, the saints will keep you from falling. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. We in our Christian walk need to be careful in selecting companions. One of the most difficult challenges that I see today is for our young people, our kids and grandkids, who are hard-pressed to find a spiritual companion. Saints will keep you from falling. We need to produce more saints. I've mentioned to you, I've been involved in Christian education along with our church for a long, long, long time. And it's difficult for these young people. It's difficult even in our churches for these young people because the world has so infiltrated the thinking of God's people that it becomes difficult. As grandparents, we need to influence. You're just from the old school. That's fine. I'll be from the old school, but you better listen to me, son. I mentioned to you a week ago or 2 weeks ago or something about the divorce rate in America. It's deplorable. Why is it deplorable? Children not being trained. They're not being taught. They're not in church. They're not in Sunday school. School systems are not teaching them what they need to know. We need to do something. We need to refine and accelerate what's being done. How? Hey. Keeping the lights on, the doors open, and people who love the Lord. We need to talk more about what God's doing in this place. Amen? So what God's doing. Hey, you're here, aren't you, this morning? Hey, there's people here that love the Lord. Amen? You're going to send out whatever you're going to do. They're here, there. You send out missionaries, so forth and so on. Hey, something's happening. The lost and dying world out there thinks, well, the church is dead. No. There are precious saints here in this place that are trying and endeavoring to send out. On the table back there, you had gospel tracts. That calendar that you mentioned earlier, all right? I probably mentioned something like this in preaching, but that's all right. I always say the same thing over and over again. But anyway, when you mentioned about those calendars, I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, it's hard to go door-to-door visitation, okay? I get on one door and here I'm going to stay the rest of my life. You know, it's like, I made it to your door. Well, you know, you can mail those out. You can do some unique. If you go to a laundromat, you probably put a couple of them in there and so forth and so on. Get the gospel message out. Get it out. And I think you have the capability of doing that. It takes, according to statistics, so I'm told or so I read, but anyway, 7 times for a person to hear a clear presentation of the gospel before they get saved. There's a lot of young people out there, unmarried people and so forth and so on, who have never heard the gospel anytime, any place, anywhere. So we need to get it out in the laundromat. Oh, they're not going to read it. Somebody's going to read it. Somebody's going to find a time. They stand a better chance of reading that tract that's on that table back there in the laundromat than they do here in church. Because more people go to the laundromat than go to church. The only place they can get clean is here and not there. So we need to get the gospel message out into a lost and dying world in that capacity. I'm saying the Savior will keep you from falling. The scriptures will keep you from falling. Saints, being around godly people. I've seen, I go again with this term young people, but excuse me. But I've seen young people who, when they want to do something that would be wrong or controversial, there are certain other clans, certain other kids they don't want around. My girls found that out. They were preacher's kids. And they were rarely invited to some things when something was going to go on that was inappropriate. And when my girls weren't invited, then I invited myself to that which was going on. Not because I felt bad for my girls, but I felt bad for what they were contemplating over yonder here. Companions can keep you from falling. Saints can keep you from falling. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I trust you don't mind. Doesn't sound like you do. Turn it in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 13. Submission. Submission. There was a book written years ago, Who, Me, Obey Him? Who, Me, Obey Him? Submission. Jesus in the family is the head. Under the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes daddy, comes the husband. With the husband, behind every good man, there's a good woman. And I have found that it's kind of like a team effort. But the final authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. Under him is the husband. Under him is the wife. Under him are the children with no authority at all. The kids do not run the home. I'll say that again. The kids do not run the home. The kids do not run the home. Let me throw out a... If I'm not mistaken, in the Orthodox Jewish practice today, kids are bar mitzvah about 12 or 13 years of age. And at that point, they're declared to be an adult. How would you like to have some 13-year-old running your whatever it may be? But I'm of the persuasion that young people need to be trained so that when they are 12, 13, they could do and assume all the responsibility of an adult. I've enjoyed, still enjoy being a father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. But as my girls were growing up, train up a child in the way they should go. And so we just kind of thought this idea we ought to train them the way they should go. I sat down with my daughter, and I basically said, this is not a direct quote, but I said, my daughter's name is Kerith, C-H-E-R-I-T-H, from the brook, Kerith. Anyway, I said to her when she was about 13, I'm pretty much done with you, Kay. I will give you advice and counsel when you want it. But I have trained you in the way you should go. You can go to bed when you want to. You can study or don't study. He said, are you? She was trained to know what was right and what was wrong. I said, okay, anything you need counsel on, advice on, decision on, I'm here. But at the age of 12, 13, my ambition, my goal, my aim was to have her trained that she would make the right decisions, just like the decisions that I would make if I was given the chance to make them. Our Christian school kids, we're out in the country kind of like, but a little general store up the road. And I would send them up to get me a snack. Go get Rev a snack, here's a buck, whatever it would be. I said, go get me a snack. I would never tell them what to get me. Why? Because they knew what I wanted. They knew what I wanted, and they would come back with what I wanted, and they would come back with the change. Why? Because I want to train them in making the right decisions. Today, our culture has not trained the parents to train the kids in the way they should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. Very, very simple, but very profound. Train up a child in the way he should go. So I could never do that with my teenager. Why not? Well, there's a culture out there that's untraining them if they are getting trained. So protect them from that culture. What instrument brings a culture into your home? I love you. What instrument brings into your home a culture that we would not bring into church? What would you have done if I walked in here and sat up there and I said, for the next 45 minutes, an hour, we're just going to sit here and enjoy ourselves? You say, well, there's got to be something good on there. Yeah, it's the off switch. All right? So when you train them, you say, well, does it work? I mentioned it before, we've had a good number of teenagers and young people live with us. Now, they're all not shining knights in shining armor, but some of them are pretty good kids. Some are off missionaries, preachers, pastors' wives. And when they stayed with us, they lived under the same thing. There's no curfew hours here. You can't stay out of the house, but you can stay in the house. You want to stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning like an idiot? Go ahead. But you know it's not right. And if they stayed up to 3 o'clock in the morning, they know that tomorrow night they ain't staying up to 3 o'clock in the morning. No way. Can I go to bed? Can I go to bed? Can I go to bed? Let me go on. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you do, tell me, where am I at? Do you follow what I'm saying? Amen. Train up a child. Submission to authority. Did we do that in Hebrews chapter 13? That's where I am. Thank you, Ma. All right. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, and that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you. Submission to authority. That little girl that I said, you can go to bed whenever you want. She's married to a preacher, Pastor John Hawkins, up in Hudson Falls. Been married, has children, grandchildren. That makes me a great-grandfather, so forth and so on. But it works. My middle girl, she's married to Brother John Clark. They have 3 girls serving the Lord, doing what God wants them to do. My baby in the family, she married a missionary young man from Papua New Guinea, and they're serving the Lord. And so it does work. It does work. We need to train them. Now, if we didn't do that, we might need to back up just a little bit and love them. And love them. You ever know that? You know that little song. Jesus loves me when I'm good. You know, when I do the things I should. You want me to sing it for you? Yeah. You come back at 3 o'clock. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, even though it makes him sad. There's been situations and times where I would sit down and cry with my daughter. I can remember sitting on the curb when she was desirous to do something, but couldn't get up enough nerve to do it, and she just kind of felt like she was failing me and failing herself. And we sat down on the curb and we cried and prayed and cried and prayed and cried and prayed. She got up and did what she needed to do. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, even though it makes him sad. And mom and dad, it ought to make you sad. Not because, they're bringing a reproach upon me. What are the church members going to think? Oh, no. No, no, no. They're hurting themselves. They're hurting the cause of Christ. They're hurting the testimony of Christ. And the devil's out there trying to destroy our young people. Be careful. Cautious. that we don't fall. We're not planning on falling. Submission to authority will keep you from falling. Young people today need to be trained to submit to authority. I asked my wife, I said, where are the kids? Because I would say, Kay, come here, Kay, come here. Just pretend, okay? She looked to see if Kay was really there. Not yet, but I'm working on it. Kay, come here. And Kay would come up. And I said, good, go sit down. She'd be half a bat. Come back up here. She turned around, come back up. School kids. Billy, come here. Billy, come up. Go sit down. Come here. No, go sit down. I pull a dollar out of my pocket, sometimes a $5 bill. On rare occasions, a $20 bill. Come here, Billy. Go sit down. He didn't get it. But the next time I call him, Billy, come here. He'd come. Because he knows it's $1, $5, $10, $20. He said, well, no. It works. Billy, go down and clean the gym. Sure. He doesn't know if he's going to get a dollar or have to give me a dollar. All I'm saying, we need to train our children. They just don't grow. We need to train our grandchildren, you know. Grandparents are suckers for anything. Oh, Mom, what? It wasn't really all that bad. She doesn't have to. No. You didn't do enough to her. Uh-huh. Come on, Grandma. Uh-huh. And then what happens, then your kids get a little bit concerned that maybe you think they're being a little bit too rough with the children. Oh, you don't really have that. We only come to visit once in a while. It's okay. He can. No. Train up a child, and you're part of that training process with those young people. Take heed lest you fall. It means absolutely nothing because I folded that piece of paper. Take heed. One more thing, and we'll stop. I've got more points. I just want to pick out one. Separation. Ephesians 2:10. Let's do that. Doing something for God will keep you from falling. Service, take heed. Service will keep you from falling. I said it last week, but only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Ephesians 2:10 says this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Good works. Good works. Call somebody today that you know and tell them how much you appreciate them. And when they ask, why did you call me? Well, the preacher stood up and said, I had to do it, so I better do it because next week he's going to ask if we did it. And then I can tell him I did it. Well, that's better than not doing it at all. Uh-huh. I've said it once or twice. I'm calling you because the preacher, not the preacher, but I'm calling, you know, and do it. Do something. Do something there. Hey, God's blessed. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? Wouldn't it, and I said that before, I'm going to stop. Wouldn't it be good if everybody carried the same degree of Christianity? I remember standing here last week saying this, that you carry. Wouldn't that be good? If every man, every woman was our degree of Christianity was reproducible. It's kind of scary. But we need to have a culture that's that way. Our founding fathers had some idea of what we ought to be as a nation. And so we want to reproduce to some degree that is reproducible. Don't fall. There are preventative steps. Contradiction, kind of like, but there are preventative steps that you can take so that you will not fall. And if you see somebody else fall, hey, go over there and help them up. Man, I remember one time when you were so faithful to church, it's unbelievable. I mean, you never missed. Better perhaps than saying, where you been? You too lazy to get up on Sunday morning? No. I remember the good old days. Remember? You used to walk from wherever over there, and you used to walk to church. We used to sing them crazy songs. You remember any of that? Do you remember? You remember Jesus Loves Me? Oh, come on. You don't really remember it. Let me hear you. Come on. Hey, that was great. Yeah, remember you got a reward in Sunday school when you did that? Well, I'm going to take it down there and get you a, I want to say 7-Eleven. What's that other? Wawa. I'll get you a Wawa because you sang that. Now, that little candy is not going to mean much to a 25-year-old. But that Wawa coffee down there. All right? And if you come back next Sunday, you come out to church next Sunday, hey, I'm going to get you a coffee and a donut. Who knows? Well, that's, no, that's saying, I love you, kid. I love you, young man. Heavenly Father, bless something that was said, the Holy Spirit to use it. In Jesus' name, amen.